Good evening, all. We're here for Board of Adjustment tonight. I'm new at this position, so nobody give me grief. I got lots of help here, board, attorney, so bear with me tonight. I'm filling in. Today is April 11th, 2022. Welcome to City Kirkwood's monthly Board of Adjustment meeting. Three points need to be mentioned before we commence our proceedings. First, if you have a cell phone, please turn it off or put it in the vibrating setting. If you should receive a call, please go outside the room and take it. Please don't talk amongst each other while testimony is being given. It is very difficult for the court reporter to pick up the testimony otherwise. Third, if you have difficulty hearing, please move to the front of the room to improve your ability to hear the testimony of the board and the deliberations. If you are unable to hear the testimony or deliberations, please signal the chair, it's me, and we will instruct the person testifying and our board members to speak more loudly. This is a quasi-judicial hearing with a court reporter present to record the proceedings. In order for variance to be approved, 4 yes votes are required. This board is here to hear your testimony as it pertains to justification in determining whether a variance from the code should be granted. After the board has heard all the testimony by interested parties, the public testimony will then be closed and the board members will vote after we have held a discussion of the issues by and amongst the members of the board. You will hear that discussion of the board and the board's vote and the resolution documenting our decision. A variance provides relief to a homeowner who would suffer a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship from a strict application of a zoning or fence ordinance. It is not intended that a variance be granted merely to remove inconveniences or financial burdens that the requirements of this code may impose on property owners in general. Variances are intended to address extraordinary, exceptional, or unique situations that were not caused by the applicant's act or omission. This board addresses property problems arising from any literal application of the zoning ordinances as opposed to people problems, which are not our purview. The burden is on the petitioner to present sufficient evidence, written and oral, to show that in compelling with the strict application of the ordinance, he or she would have a practical difficulty for an area or dimensional variance or unnecessary hardship for the use or fence variance. After the board's discussion, you will hear the resolution documenting our decision, read and voted upon by this board. We also may consider historical and court developed facts in coming to our decision. These include how substantial the variance is in relation to the ordinance requirement, whether there is a feasible alternative, whether a substantial change will be produced in the character of the neighborhood or detriment to adjoining properties, and considering the relevant facts and evidence, whether the variance is reasonable. Testimony by the citizens for and against the variance can provide useful evidence on the nature of the impact on the neighborhood. Testimony will be accepted from not only those who have received notices of this hearing from the city, but also from any interested Kirkwood citizen and from others who have pertinent facts to enter into evidence. Evidence by its nature is factual, and once a fact has been entered as evidence, it not need be entered into evidence again by another witness. Please avoid doing so. I am going to call the cases scheduled for tonight just to verify that the petitioner is present and to determine whether any of the cases have opposition. If any of the cases do have opposition, we will move them to the end of the docket to try and move the evening along quickly. When I call your name, please raise your hand to acknowledge your presence. We have two cases tonight. We have Joseph F. Davidson, is he here? Thank you. And then Stephen, I'm going to butcher it.
Yeah, Ramatka, silent H.
Gesundheit, okay. Do we have any opposition? Do we have any in favor? Okay, so we'll take them as in order as they have been presented to us. Let's get to the next page, which comes to you. When your case is called, the city shall first present its evidence, and then you, the petitioner, will be called to be sworn by the court reporter before beginning to present your testimony. Only one person at a time is permitted to testify. If a petitioner is represented by legal counsel, I ask that you advise of the same when your case is initially called. If you are represented by counsel, your attorney is entitled to make relevant and proper legal objections during your case's proceedings. Subject to this exception, I ask that members of the audience and others that are part of the petitioner's group do not call out any answers or comments in response to any question or comments made by a member of this board. If the person speaking does not know the answer to a question, please ask for a timeout to confer with the others in your group and then answer the question. Again, it's extremely difficult for the court reporter to record the proceedings if more than one person is speaking and she cannot identify the speaker. If the petitioner wishes to present new exhibits tonight that are not already part of the package, they may do so with the city attorney. We'll mark them accordingly. However, they will become part of the permanent record and they cannot be returned to you tonight or in the future. When you come forward to give your testimony, please remember that you are under oath, that you keep your testimony succinct and factual as possible, and that you focus your testimony on the facts concerning requested variances. The board is only strictly considering narrow aspects of the variance. That you address all comments to the board, not to the audience. Please understand that the members of the board may interrupt your testimony at any time for clarification on any point you may make, or to explore how any point of your statement may be germane to this process. We'll need to call roll from last month.
We need to call roll on that approved as suggested.
That's what I got. We'll need to call roll.
Okay.
Okay.
Cindy Coronado.
Here.
Joe Roser here. Paul Schaefer.
Here.
Pat Jones.
Here.
Gil Kleinek.
Here.
We'll proceed with the meeting if there's any changes from the attorney.
You need to move to approve last month.
Last month.
Oh, okay.
Which we didn't have a meeting last month.
We didn't have one, so it's two.
Previous month.
Meeting before.
Okay.
Move for approval of the
February.
Minutes of February?
Yes.
Up first?
Okay.
All right.
Second?
Second.
All approved?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Sure.
Thank you. I will now call the first case to be heard. City attorney to present the city's evidence.
Oh, okay.
I'm coming up to just give the administrative report.
Okay. Sorry. That wasn't in my
paper. All right. So in your board packets, you should have all received a memo explaining the administrative waiver procedure that was created in the new zoning and subdivision code that was adopted in February of last year. The memo also explains the one administrative waiver we've had so far, which was granted in December of last year. Did anyone have any questions about the memo or the granting of the waiver?
So when did this go into effect?
February.
In February.
February of 2021 was when the new zoning and subdivision code was adopted.
Okay.
By council.
Yes.
The approving authority is the building commissioner?
The director of planning and development services.
The only single no one above him?
No. It's Jonathan Raish. All right. If you do have any questions about it, always feel free to reach out, but that's all.
All right, thank you.
Okay, sorry, I didn't see that on my docket, so there you go. Okay, first case we'll call tonight then will be Greenleaf, 342 Greenleaf.
In case number 8-2022, the city has 9 exhibits to submit to the record. Exhibit 1 is a variance application regarding the property located at 342 Greenleaf Drive. Exhibit 1 is one page in length and was received by the Public Works Department on March 11th, 2022. Exhibit 2 is a two-page letter from Joe Davidson of Data Works LLC to the Board of Adjustment regarding the requested variance and was received by the Public Works Department on March 11th, 2022. Exhibit 3 is a letter addressed to the applicant and signed by Christy Volker, Planner 1, dated March 16th, 2022. Exhibit 3 is two pages in length. Exhibit 4 is an affidavit of publication signed by Brandon Crail on behalf of the Countian, St. Louis County newspaper. Exhibit 4 is one page in length and advises the public of these proceedings. Exhibit 5 is a list of property owners within 300 feet of the subject property and a map showing where those owners are located. Exhibit 5 is three pages in length. Exhibit 6 is a one-page oversized document received by the Public Works Department on March 11, 2022, containing a boundary and improvement survey for the subject property. Exhibit 7 is a six-page oversized document received by the Public Works Department on March 11, 2022. Exhibit 7 contains an existing site plan, proposed site plan, existing conditions, demo floor plan, and proposed floor plan for the subject property, along with renderings of the proposed addition for the subject property. Exhibit 8 is a one-page oversized document received by the Public Works Department on March 11, 2022, containing photographs of the subject property. And Exhibit 9 is the Kirkwood Code of Ordinances, including the Zoning and Subdivision Code, the Comprehensive Plan, and the Zoning District Map, which are or may hereafter be in force. At this time, the city calls Christy Volker. Good evening, Ms. Volker. Please state your name and occupation for the record.
Christy Volker, Planner 1, City of Kirkwood.
Are you familiar with case number 8-2022?
Yes.
Is the subject property in this case located at 342 Greenleaf Drive in the City of Kirkwood, Zoning District R3?
Yes.
And in the case of 342 Greenleaf Drive, is the applicant seeking a variance from Article 6, Section 25-46, Subsection 25-46, K2IIC of the Kirkwood Zoning and Subdivision Code, which provides that in the R3 and R4 districts, the front yard that's required along the narrower frontage is considered the primary front yard, and the front yard which is required along the wider frontage is considered the secondary front yard, and that in the R3 district, the minimum secondary front yard shall be equal to 20% of the lot width.
Yes.
Specifically, in this case, is the front yard along Longview Boulevard considered as the secondary front yard?
Yes.
And in this case, pursuant to the strict letter of the code, is there a minimum setback requirement of 27.72 feet for the secondary front yard along Longview Boulevard?
Yes.
Does Article 6, Section 25-47, Subsection 25-47D2 of the Kirkwood Zoning and Subdivision Code provide that for structures that were legally constructed in a residential zoning district and that contain front yard, rear yard, or side yard setbacks that are not in conformance with this code, the existing front, rear, and/or side yard setbacks of the principal structure that are not in conformity shall be considered as the setbacks for the subject property for the purpose of additions, alterations, and expansions, except that in no case shall the minimum front, rear, or side yard setback be less than 5 feet?
Yes.
And in the case of 342 Greenleaf Drive, was the existing structure legally constructed in a residential zoning district?
Yes.
And in the case of 342 Greenleaf Drive, does the existing structure contain a secondary front yard setback that is not in conformance with the code?
Yes.
In this case, is the existing non-conforming setback for the secondary front yard 27.46 feet?
Yes.
And does the applicant propose to construct an addition to a single-family residence that will have a secondary front yard setback of 20.98 feet?
Yes.
Therefore, does the applicant seek a variance of 6.48 feet for the secondary front yard?
Yes.
Do you have anything else to add?
No.
The board may direct questions to Ms. Volker.
I don't have any questions.
Does the setback just pertain just to the corner that exceeds the lot line or the original line?
Yes, so the way that our code reads is that this would be considered a corner lot. So the secondary front yard is along Longview Boulevard, which our code would calculate as being 20% of the lot width at the 40-foot setback line. So once they calculated what that was, it would be 27.72 feet, that's 20% of the lot width. However, where the home is currently situated is 27.46 feet. So that is considered their existing non-conforming setback, and that is what they are requesting a variance from.
If this is approved today, it only pertains to the corner that's over the line. It doesn't pertain to the other open space that continues to run. They can't come back and add an addition.
You can move to grant the variance pursuant to the site plan?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. That's the right answer.
Would it be good at this point in time to have the fence moved and so forth? Does the city recommend that at this point in time, or leave that to the homeowners?
That's up to the homeowner.
Okay. I just thought cleaning it up would look nice, but I got it. Any other questions? Thank you. Petitioner here, want to speak? Come on up and you get sworn in and then you can tell us your side. State your name and your address for us, please, for the record.
Good evening. This is Joe Davidson at 3459 Arsenal Street, DataWorks Architects.
Gotcha.
Produced drawings, worked with the homeowner on this proposal. Also worked closely with the city to establish this setback. It is kind of a unique condition. So we kind of worked to pin it down exactly where it is so that we can make this request. Basic project description, there's an existing 1.5-car garage and sort of a breezeway converted family room, which we're proposing to demolish the breezeway and the garage, construct a new 2-car garage with family room, sort of enveloping the same space, but the existing family room is about 8 feet deep by maybe 16 feet wide, and that's not a very usable room. So what we're proposing from an interior or usability stance is reasonable, in line with what is to be expected architecturally in Kirkwood homes. The 6.48 foot variance request, face value seems significant, but as the gentleman board member here noted, it is just the corner of the addition. It is not something that we would consider substantial. And if granted, it would kind of go a long way to making this a successful project. Like most, so studying the proposed site plan or the existing site plan, and the possible building area, that was our first sort of step in this process. Due to the easement on the west and the setback along the east, location of the driveway in the existing garage, and the setback on Longview leaves kind of a triangular area that is allowable for expansion. So what we're proposing is the lot size is more than adequate for the proposed sort of modest addition. We're not anywhere close to exceeding the allowable site coverage. We're quite under it. And we're trying to work with what is the remaining buildable area. So this variance request would allow us to build something that is reasonable and in line with the Kirkwood homes. The issue is not just the shape of the lot, but the angle of the setback on Longview, which really limits the possible footprint. I had one other note there. This creates a practical difficulty in planning a modest addition. It's a hardship not found in lots, other residential lots in this zone. have any questions, I'd be...
Any questions?
Yeah, I got a couple questions. On your, are you going to be required to do a retention for this project?
We went through that preliminarily with the city engineer, and no, we're not near that.
You're not near the 25%?
No, sir.
Good, okay. No, I think it looks great.
Mm-hmm.
I think it looks great because that's a very odd lot. I mean, essentially, you've got three front yards. I know not legally according to our description,
correct.
but you do.
Yes.
And one of them is round.
Yes, yes. So...
I mean, I think it's a very small encroachment into the setback.
I would agree. What do you think, Gil?
We've made this same question before, and we've approved it.
Yep. Any questions?
Any questions?
None.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
We're close and talk amongst ourselves.
See if anyone's in favor or against.
Anybody in favor? Oh, come on up. I'm sorry.
Hi, my name is Joshua Fogle. I'm from 342 Greenleaf Drive, and this is the what we're trying to do to our house. So myself and my wife Carrie and our two daughters, we've lived here for 6 years. We've loved it. We moved here for the schools and for the downtown area. But as our children have gotten a little bit older, we've noticed that room, that space that Joe talked about, that 8 foot deep by about 16 feet wide, it's just not super usable. And we have about a 1.5 car garage right now, and we really love to be able to park both cars in a garage to keep them out of the weather and help that paint last a little bit longer. The lot allows for the 2-car garage, which is nice. We would like to use this opportunity to build that additional family room space and expand it and make it more usable for our girls as they, you know, become teenagers. Hopefully we can keep them in the house and happy with where we live. We'll see how that goes.
Good luck with that.
As you can see, yeah, we've talked about it a bunch. The size and the shape of the lot is great, but it comes with some constraints. 3 front yards, that's the first time I've heard that. I was going to go with 2 front yards and an easement on the side, but we're hemmed in pretty good there.
Got a street on all 3 sides.
That's a great point.
Yes.
So we're planning on remaining here in Kirkwood for a long time. My wife is actually going to start as a librarian at North Glendale Elementary School in the 22-23 school year. And we'd just like to thank you for your consideration of our variance request.
Great.
Thanks.
Any questions?
No.
Gil?
None.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. Close.
Anyone else in favor?
Anybody else in favor that wants to speak? Anybody opposing? Hearing none, close the meeting and we'll talk to amongst ourselves. So, who wants to start?
I think we've talked.
I'll start. I mean, I think it's a great great addition. It's not overbearing, and you know, speeding along Longview, you'll never know that's 6 foot.
Nobody speeds
right.
In Kirkwood.
Oh, that's right, I forgot.
Oh, no.
But no, I think it's a good design and
fits in the neighborhood.
Yeah, fits the neighborhood.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Move for a vote.
Yeah. I move we approve. Okay. As submitted.
One second.
Okay. Call for a vote.
Caitlin, do you want to add as per the... Did you have a question?
No.
About it being constructed for the site plan?
Well, it's going to be constructed as...
Got the impression that was
drawn.
Assumed.
Yeah. Yes. Okay, just wanted to make sure that we knew what you asked.
So, yeah, if you're going to impose a condition, it would need to be pursuant to, I would think, the proposed site plan on City's Exhibit 7, okay. I would think, is the condition that you're wanting to impose.
Just make but the legal wording.
Isn't that always a condition? It's based on the site
no,
plan?
No, it's not always a condition.
So they could change the design, but not the setbacks.
Right, right. If you approve without conditions, it's that exact, it's that
they
setback.
They can't go over the line, the setback.
Right, they can't go over the new setback line, but they can change
if
it.
If they wanted to add a foot deeper in the garage, they could add a foot deeper in the garage.
Right.
I mean,
that was my question. I got Christy. I thought that was the way she framed it. Was it's automatic? It's a site plan. Okay.
No.
Well, yes. agree, that should be part of the motion, part of the approval, it's based on this site plan.
Condition of site plan as proposed.
It needs to be pursuant to proposed site plan on city's Exhibit 7.
I'll come back to you for that when we get past that.
So you need to remove to approve with the conditions.
I reapprove according to the new wordage.
We need a second.
Second. Take a vote.
Please.
Cindy Coronado?
In favor.
Joe Roser in favor. Paul Schaefer?
In favor.
Pat Jones?
In favor.
Gil Kleinek?
In favor. Based on the site plan.
He's adding those words.
You're going to add those when I get there, right?
Exhibit number 9.
I'll help you.
You got the petitioner once, he's got his hand up, I don't know if it's too late to testimony.
Yeah, it's too late. It's too late for public portion.
Okay, we're going on. Whereas the board does find and determine that the property in question in zoning district R3 pursuant to the provisions of the zoning subdivision code of city of Kirkwood requires a minimum of 27.46 front yard setback, and whereas the applicant desires to construct an addition to the existing single-family residence, which would not comply with said 27.46 existing non-conforming foot front yard setback, whereas the board does further find and determine that a practical difficulty exists to justify the approval of the area of or dimensional variance of 6.8 feet on said 27.46 foot existing non-conforming front yard setback requirement based on the following factors. Special conditions and circumstances exist which are peculiar to the land or structure involved and which are not applicable generally to other lands or structures in the same zoning code. The variance is not substantial and is minimal necessary to make possible reasonable use of the land or structures. The essential character of the neighborhood would not be substantially altered, nor would adjoining properties suffer substantial detriment as a result of the variance. The variance would not adversely affect the delivery of government services such as water, sewer, trash pickup. The property owner's request cannot be obligated through some other method than a variance. The spirit and intent behind the zoning requirement would be observed and substantial justice done by granting a variance. And a strict interpretation of the provisions of this code would deprive the applicant of the rights commonly enjoyed by other properties in the same district under the terms of this code. Do we want to add that point in here at this point in time before I finish reading, or where do you want to add that?
So you add that whenever you say that that 20.98 is now the setback.
Okay.
You say pursuant to proposed site plan on city 7.
I'll let you do that. How's that? Because you know the wordage that you want to put in there. Okay.
Just read that whenever you say 20.98 feet.
Okay. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the appeal of Joseph Davidson is hereby granted on the property known as 342 Greenleaf Drive for the construction of an addition to the existing single-family residence to be within 20.98 feet of the Longview Boulevard yard property line, and the building commissioner is
pursuant.
Pursuant
to exhibit.
Pursuant to proposed site plan on Exhibit 7.
As he said.
Yeah.
And the building commissioner is hereby directed to issue a permit for such construction. Take a vote.
Cindy Coronado?
Favor.
Joe Roser in favor. Paul Schaefer?
In favor.
Pat Jones?
In favor.
Gil Kleinek?
In favor.
Thanks for coming. You've been approved.
Thank you. Good luck with your project.
I'm not done yet. Petitioner for Steve
Romaka,
thank you.
Steve H.
He spent
Steve
his
H. There we go.
He spent his life doing that.
Do I need to read this all back into reads again? There we go.
What is it?
All of the.
No, no.
Okay.
Just introduce case number 9.
Okay. I'm getting there. Just got to find the paperwork. Introduction of case number 9-2022. Petitioner want to come up and speak?
No, not yet.
Sorry.
All right. City will present its evidence in case number 9-2022. In case number 9-2022, the city has 11 exhibits to submit to the record. Exhibit 1 is a variance application regarding the property located at 433 East Essex Avenue. Exhibit 1 is 1 page in length and was received by the Public Works Department on March 14, 2022. Exhibit 2 is a 2-page letter from Stephen and Catherine Romanka to the Board of Adjustment regarding the requested variance and was received by the Public Works Department on March 14, 2022. Exhibit 3 is a letter addressed to the applicant and signed by Christy Volker, Planner 1, dated March 16, 2022. Exhibit 3 is 2 pages in length. Exhibit 4 is an affidavit of publication signed by Brandon Crail on behalf of the County and St. Louis County newspaper. Exhibit 4 is 1 page in length and advises the public of these proceedings. Exhibit 5 is a list of property owners within 300 feet of the subject property and a map showing where those owners are located. Exhibit 5 is 2 pages in length. Exhibit 6 is a 1-page document received by the Public Works Department on March 14, 2022, containing a boundary and improvement survey for the subject property. Exhibit 7 is a 1-page document received by the Public Works Department on March 14, 2022, containing an agreement between Chesterfield Fence and Deck Company, Inc. and Catherine Romanka for the installation of a fence at the subject property. Exhibit 8 is 1 page in length. Exhibit 8 is an email dated February 18, 2022 at 1:26 p.m. from Sam Vatries of Chesterfield Fence and Deck Company, Inc. to Catherine Colombo regarding the impact of a retaining wall on fence installation at the subject property. Exhibit 9 is a 5-page document received by the Public Works Department on March 14, 2022, containing photographs of the subject property and fence. Exhibit 10 is 2 pages in length. Exhibit 10 contains email correspondence from Kim and Chris Hahn of 427 East Essex Avenue, dated April 10th, 2022, expressing support for the requested variance. Exhibit 10 also contains email correspondence from Ann and Randy Mitchell of 430 Oak Craft, dated April 10th, 2022, expressing support for the requested variance. And Exhibit 11 is the Kirkwood Code of Ordinances, including the Zoning and Subdivision Code, the Comprehensive Plan, and the Zoning District Map, which are or may hereafter be in force. At this time, the city calls Christy Volker. As a reminder, you are still under oath.
Yes.
Please state your name and occupation for the record.
Christy Volker, Planner 1, City of Kirkwood.
Are you familiar with case number 9-2022?
Yes.
Is the subject property in this case located at 433 East Essex Avenue in the City of Kirkwood, Zoning District R3?
Yes.
And in the case of 433 East Essex Avenue, is the applicant seeking a variance from the fence height restriction found in Chapter 5, Article 4, Section 5-39, Subsection B of the Kirkwood Code of Ordinances?
Yes.
Specifically, in this case, is there a maximum fence height requirement of 6 feet?
Yes.
And does the applicant propose a fence height of 7 feet?
Yes.
Therefore, does the applicant seek a variance of 1 foot as to the height of the fence?
Yes.
Do you have anything else to add?
Sure. We did advise the applicant that it would be an option to install the fence on top of their retaining wall, and they could go 6 feet from there. They will elaborate in their own testimony upon why they were advised that was not structurally sound as an option, but we did give that as an option to the applicant.
Thank you. Do you have anything else?
Nope, that's all.
Okay, the board may direct questions to Ms. Volker.
Go right ahead, Gil.
Where on the site plan is the 7-foot fence going to be? I could not figure it out.
So it is in this corner of the property. So it's kind of hard to see on the aerial. I don't know if I put a site. I did. So this is not to scale, but this is the site plan that was provided. The 7-foot tall fence is going to be this corner.
It's the back corner. No, it's the back corner of the house right
here. So it's the corner.
Yes, just the corner. It's not the entirety. It's just the one corner of the lot.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I don't have any questions.
Do I understand that they're going to do the part at the front and then two sections on the side?
That's what it looks like, yes. Okay. So it'll
be
right here and then just right here.
That's what I thought I saw, but who knows?
Well, we can ask the petitioner.
Okay, that's...
Yeah. And the hardship is a retaining wall?
Yes, they will speak to what their hardship is.
Okay. Any other questions?
Nope.
Thank you. Call the petitioner up. Cover. He's not looking at me. Exactly.
Hello, everybody. How you doing? Thank you for coming out today.
What's your name and your address?
Steve H. or Steve Ramadka, as we're known, 433 East Essex. We've been a resident for 4 years now, and we've had this fence that's been for somewhat of 20 years, was estimated by Chesterfield Fence and Deck. In time to replace it, we noticed that in the southwest corner, as Chris pointed out, that the fence and the retaining wall meet, and the retaining wall is on the inside of the fence, causing the fence height to only be within 3 feet when you're standing inside of the fence. It's kind of hard to describe, a lot easier to kind of show.
Yeah.
Obviously, from the pictures here, you can see on the right-hand side, that is a picture of the inside. And then on the left-hand side, that's from the street view. Our hardship, as described earlier, was that from the inside, the height of the fence is actually only at 3 feet, which, in my opinion, or I guess what I'm supposed to prove to you guys is that could become a hazard for anybody in the back, contractors, utility workers that could possibly be in that corner, leading to a stumble or a fall over the side. Also, we plan to have children in the near future. That could also be an easy catapult for them or some sort of game, I'm sure, that they could enact of escape the backyard. I don't know. But I can only guess. So we're only asking for three panels, 2 8-foots and 1 6-foot, and the 1 6-foot would be the one that would be possibly visible from the front side. From the street, but also there are several trees that actually are sitting there, bushes very well maintained by my neighbor, actually graciously maintained by my neighbor. It would be a very low impact for visibility or anything like that. And does anybody have any questions?
The retaining wall, mm-hmm. Stephen, is that like a VersaLock?
I'm not 100% sure what the constraint is, and that's also what the fence salesman said, is that they don't know what it's constructed of, and they don't know how it's like webbed together or cemented together, so they would not have any idea
I didn't crawl over the fence and look in or whatever, because I didn't know if he had a big dog or whatever. But
small
it looked like a VersaLock,
okay,
mm-hmm. Block wall. So putting that on top of that, I think Gil, you might have mentioned that they're just glued down. They're not secured in mm-hmm. sand and cement or pegged in or whatever. It's just the cap is just glued on. So if you were to try to attach anything to that top cap, it would not be very structurally sound, especially it could tip over or whatever if somebody
hit
the fence
it.
Or whatever.
Yep.
So, I don't. I think that would be. I mean, you're not going to notice a foot high.
No.
In three. So your three sections, mm-hmm. they'll all be horizontal, and they'll drop down to 6 foot as you're going to the back.
Correct.
Of the yard.
Yes.
It's not going to angle down.
No, it would.
Okay.
Right. That's exactly the way that it would grade, and we're getting our fence installed with the grade. So.
Yeah. Okay.
Makes sense.
That makes sense. Yeah.
Joe, since you were there, what does the retaining wall serve? What does it retain?
Well, they're if you look at their house, the backyard there Gil is a lot higher than the neighbors to the, I guess that would be to your west?
Yeah, the west.
West.
Probably about 2 or 3 feet.
And he needs to really put his wheelbarrow.
I'm sorry.
Their retaining wall is about 2 or 3 feet high.
I would say, yeah.
Keeping your backyard in place.
2.5 feet high, something like that.
That's 2 to 3.
Just checking, Pat, just checking.
I get to be eccentric in my own.
Okay, it's all good, honey.
Well, it's hard for us to tell because there's a fence in the way anyway, so.
And it's holding the ground up, so you don't know.
Right, exactly, yeah.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Yep, thank you.
Anybody else like to speak in favor? State your name and your address.
I do.
Good evening, my name is Kim Hahn and I live at 427 East Essex, which is the property you can see there on the left. So I'm immediately to the west of Stephen and Katie. And sorry, I have a wavering voice. I just wanted to let you know it's our property that is adjacent to this fence and we are in favor of the variance for them. I don't think it'll be a big deal. I don't like Steve said, you don't see a lot of that fence from the street at all. I don't think it would be an eyesore. Their house, they have maintained their house in such a lovely way that I know that anything they put up there will be in good taste and is definitely thinking about the safety of whatever creatures in their backyard. Dogs, children, contractors, utility men, whoever it is. So we just wanted to let the commission know that we are in favor of it and considering we're the closest and I think they have their neighbors to the backyard too in favor of it. We just like to vote our support and that's it really.
Perfect.
Can I ask her a question?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So sure. We have some questions.
This is by your garage. Who wouldn't even see it from your backyard? Is that correct?
Correct.
Most of it's by the side of your garage.
Right, so our garage actually is adjacent to this part of their property and so and we kind of sit back anyway we won't you know the only thing that you'll really see is from the street and it's so minimal the bushes block the view and that's really like the only time if you were for the split second right in that view is about the only time you really even see that fence. Okay. Just wanted to voice our support.
We appreciate you coming up.
Sure.
Thanks. Anybody else? Okay. Guess not. Okay. Close the public part of this and talk between ourselves. Okay, who wants to start?
I think the lot, the fact that it drops off makes this a hardship and it makes it very reasonable to try to put a little bit more fence and they've stuck with the retaining wall that's there. I mean, you've got an existing retaining wall that they did not put up.
Correct.
And the lot, really, the topography of the
that's,
lots.
There's where I'm at, the topography of the back lot.
You can see it actually from the opposite side, too, the curve that it takes. It's hard to see from the street because of the lot pretty well, but from the back side, you can really tell.
I don't have a problem.
Okay. Move for a vote.
Make a motion we approve.
Second.
Okay. So move second. Yeah.
Now
okay.
We can vote.
Yep. Joe, will you take that vote, please?
I'll do it.
Okay.
Cindy Coronado?
In favor.
Joe Roser in favor. Paul Schaefer?
In favor.
Pat Jones?
In favor.
Gil Klinek?
In favor.
Ready to read the facts? Ready?
Ready.
Okay. Whereas the board does find determine that the property in question is zoning District 3 and pursuant to provisions of the zoning code of Kirkwood, Missouri requires fence not exceed 6 feet in height. Whereas the applicant desires to construct a new fence which will not comply with said 6 foot high requirement. And whereas the board does further find and determine that a practical difficulty or undue hardship exists to justify the approval of the variance permitting the fence to be 7 foot in height in the location pursuant to the city's exhibit. I need that exhibit.
It's not pursuant to an exhibit.
Okay, well, I'm reading what I got already, so just go on.
Yeah, it's okay, not pursuant to an exhibit.
Based on the following, which are peculiar to the land or structure involved and which are not applicable generally to other lands or structures in the same zoning code. The limitations on character, size, and dimensions of the fence are the regulations controlling the erection or installation of a fence, or the fence is a historic restoration of the property. Due to nature, shape, size, or area of the lot, no reasonable area is available for the use and privacy of the resident, and the permittee would be subject to undue hardship, and further due to that hardship, granting the variance will not be inappropriate to the scale of the residence or to the aesthetics environment of the surrounding structures and land use, and will not impair the adequate supply of light, air to the adjacent property, and will not adversely affect the character of the neighborhood, and will not adversely affect the general health, safety, and welfare of the community. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the appeal of Stephen H. is hereby granted on the property known as 433 East Essex Avenue for the construction of a new seven foot high fence in the location pursuant to the city's exhibit, and the building commissioner is hereby directed to issue a permit for such construction. Take a vote, please.
Cindy Coronado? In favor. Joe Roser in favor. Paul Schaefer?
In favor.
Pat Jones?
In favor.
Gil Kleineck?
In favor.
Been granted your variance. Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
You have a great evening.
Oh, you get a
no.
Can I amend that? Say, can I be referred to as Mr. H?
If that works for you.
Sounds kind of villainous, though. Maybe I'll say. Have a good rest of your night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Move to close the
motion
meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to approve.
Motion to adjourn.
Close.
Motion
that's
to
what adjourn. I was thinking.
Adjourn.
There we go.
And we can
motion
approve
to adjourn.
Closing.
Motion to adjourn.
Second. Yes.
Say aye, aye.
Whatever.
Right.
Thanks. We're done.
Well, you're